Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, that is just not going to work at all. Oh, never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
Right, guys, welcome. So, bigger balance backbends. The whole rationale behind this is in the yoga world, especially kind of in the visual Instagram era, there are lots of backbends that people want to do, but often they're not done in the, in my opinion at least, the safest, most sustainable way. They're done in a way that actually could be injurious in the long term. Okay, in the context of today, I'm not gonna say that everything that comes out of my mouth is correct, of course, and there can be multiple valid opinions, of course, but everything I say today, I have a reason for. Like, I have a why for. Okay, so that is just framing it slightly. We're going to talk about the spine a little bit. Okay, so when it comes to back bends, for me, it starts off in the pelvis. What do we want the pelvis to do? We want generally the pelvis to rotate backwards when we back bend. Okay, what often tends to happen is the pelvis rotates forwards, the body comes up, and this. So this kind of looks sexy. Maybe if I'm like on a beach in my swimsuit doing this kind of back bend, I'd get lots of likes. But what's really happening there is lots of compression in my lumbar. Okay, this is the pelvis tilting forwards, whilst the upper back is in extension. So it looks good, feels okay, but probably not doing the best for my body in the long term. Often we talk about this idea of, how does it feel? Listen to your body. And I do think you should listen to your body, but sometimes your body's a little bit of an idiot, okay? Like, your body is something that might let you drink three bottles of wine on a Saturday night and it tells you all is okay. So my view is that you listen to your body, but you can combine listening to your body with understanding from a more like intellectual perspective. And sometimes your body, just sensation can mislead you. Like squashing your lower back like this, it feels good in the same way perhaps that a massage feels good. Like in this situation, I'm squashing muscles. I'm squashing a lot more than that, but I'm squashing muscles. And generally speaking, like when you get a massage, squashing muscles creates a relatively nice sensation in the short term. However, other parts of the spine I'm compressing, like my discs, they don't give any immediate feedback. They do in maybe like 10 years' time. They tell you that thing you did, you probably messed you up a little bit. But in the short term, they don't give you any immediate feedback. So we have to be very wary of compression, even if it feels good. Okay, so we're going to move up the spine now. Start with the pelvis. Pelvis rotating back when we back bend. Lower back, lumbar, we want that to not compress. Where possible, we want it to lengthen. The upper back, chest, that's a relatively tight area for most people. We spend a lot of time kind of looking at our phones, hunching over, rounding back. This is super tight. And what often happens when people practice is they open the bendy bit all the time. They just collapse into the bendy bit in every back bend, but the bit that's actually tight, they completely ignore. And so a big part of my teaching and my practice is trying to find stability in the areas that are perhaps over flexible or naturally very flexible, and try and find openness in the areas that are restricted and tight. And sometimes the opposite happens. People get more and more open where they're already open and completely ignore the bit they're actually tight. The sensation I would like you to feel or cultivate in the upper back is one of opening and lifting. Okay, you see there, as my chest lifts up, my shoulders pull down, and I'm actually starting to open upper back with minimal compression in the lower back. Now that action took me a decade to be able to work out how to do. But that's something I believe we should all try and cultivate in every single back bend we do. This opening of the restricted area. Moving up the spine a little bit more, let's think about the neck. Since day one of your life, you've been able to do this. You've been able to drop your head and look up. Okay, that's not really adding to anything when it comes to back bends. Although I see it all the time. The neck dropping and this as well. The eyeballs are rolling back in their skull. And people tell themselves they're in a really deep back bend, and all they've done really is kind of squash the neck and move the eyeballs really far. There is almost no benefit of dropping the head back. You'll squash areas that really shouldn't be squashed. A hell of a lot of blood going to the brain, a lot of the nerves going to a relatively small, tight area. Then dropping your big, no offense, heavy head and hanging it off that is not a useful thing. And further, when you actually drop the head back, almost automatically, shoulders lift up. It's very hard for me to drop my head and keep the shoulders down. So of course, if the shoulders have lifted up, that means your upper back is slightly rounding and your ribs are closing in. So actually, not only are you doing something dangerous, you're actually stopping yourself opening the bit of your body that's actually tight. Okay? So, as a summary, we want to stabilize the areas that we're loose. We want to try and cultivate openness in the areas that are restricted or tight. When it comes to standing back bends, I like this to imagine I'm creating an action of lifting up and over, kind of like a high jumper. Not the action of doing a little limbo, but the action of lifting up and over. When it comes to back bends on the belly, generally speaking, I like to create the action of lengthening forwards rather than pushing backwards. This feeling of opening and pulling rather than compression, okay? So today we are gonna practice. You of course can adapt as you need. I'm sure you're all working with injuries of some kind. You do what's good for you. Towards the end of the session, I have about 5 minutes or so of Q&A. Don't go as deep as you can in this class. Like, we haven't got time to have a full warm-up. It's only 50 minutes in reality that we're playing with, so don't go as deep as possible. Look after yourself. There's just one more area. We are focusing on back bends. One more area I'd like to talk about. What happens with your feet when you back bend? If you jump up and down, if you just take that a few times, what you'll find is your feet land in their natural position. And that'll be different for everyone. Some of you will have your feet this wide, this wide, this wide. It depends on your unique anatomy. Most of you as well will have your feet slightly turned out when you land. That doesn't mean that your legs are in an external rotation. It just means that your neutral position might look something like this. Generally speaking, when you then come to back bends, I want your feet in this position. So not turning out, not turning in more, but in whatever is neutral for you. But what tends to happen is your feet will turn out, given the opportunity. So you'll find yourself, let's say, in locust, and your feet will often turn out, your big toes push harder into the floor. Often in a wheel, people will end up there. What tends to happen when you create external rotation when backbending is you create compression going across your sacroiliac area, okay? It's not going to get into the detail of everything happening there, but if one leg is out, worse, if both legs are out and you then backbend, you'll create a feeling of compression across the lower back. So what I would like you to cultivate instead is space across the lower back and space along the lower back, okay? If there's any little questions that I can answer now, I will do. Let's just have a quick look at Q&A. I don't think there is, but okay, there isn't, which is fine. Save your questions for the end. So, we're going to start lying on our back. And as you lie on your back, walk your feet all the way to the bum. And then that's actually not what we want. I want you to walk your feet a little bit further away now. So your feet are halfway between next to the bum and legs being straight. A decent distance. Hands just at the side. Slowly lift your bum. Lift your lower back. Lift your mid back. Chest to chin. And slowly come back down. So instead of doing kind of hip thrusts, continue this and create kind of an undulation or a wave through the spine. Try and move vertebra by vertebra. Feel each vertebra lift. Feel each vertebra reconnect back with the mat. Let it be as fluid as you can. The next time you're at the top, stay at the top. And I just want you to notice something that might be happening in the lower back. Though you've lifted your hips up, maybe your pelvis is still trying to rotate forwards. Maybe your bum is still almost dropping to the floor, creating a little bit of compression in lower back. Instead, take your hands and grab the sides of your bum. Like you're holding a big bowl of water. Open the fingers wide, hold side of bum, maybe your thumbs on the front tip of the pelvis. And then holding that imaginary bowl of water, pour that water down your face. So let me say that in another way. Let your bum reach to the back of the knees. Immediately you'll feel your hamstrings start to work. And let your pubic area start to point increasingly towards face. So bum to back of knees, pubic area to face. And that should feel quite hard, especially in the back of the legs. Let me say that in one other way. Tilt your pelvis backwards. Like we said we want to do in almost every back bend. Trying to tilt your pelvis back in relation to the femur heads. Release a hand, but keep that feeling. And this is why I didn't want your feet too close here. When you walk your feet in very close, you've almost certainly have no space to tilt the pelvis backwards. Whereas here, with that little bit of extra room, you can explore that rotation. So remember this feeling of trying to create more length in the lower back. Breathe for two. Then on one, release. Pause there. Draw the knees in, rock yourself up to a seated position. Take your hands under the shoulders and knees under the bum. As you inhale, turn your biceps forwards to your thumbs. Pull your shoulders down. Create lift in the chest. Stay there. Pause there. So this is different. Well, this actually kind of contradicts me. So what you're doing here is you're creating extension in the upper back, but you're tilting the pelvis forwards. This is pretty much the only time in a typical vinyasa class that we want that. Where we want the pelvis rotating forwards with the upper back in extension. Why? Why is this safe? It's safe because you're not really putting any load into the spine. Of course, there is some force, but there is minimal force in the spine in this position. Turn your inner elbows to the thumbs, so the arms have an external rotation. With your hands, rip the mat and do the opposite. Chin to the chest, round the back, draw the belly in. Take a few rounds of cat-cow and really think, when you're in cow pose, about pulling your shoulders down rather than just dropping your head and lifting the shoulders up. Actively pull the shoulders away from the ears. Actively draw your chest forwards. Take one more round. Pause there. And then lower your whole body to the floor. Lie flat. Now as you lie flat, take your hands slightly wider than the mat, your fingers level with your shoulders. And actually come to the fingertips. You're going to be a little bit weird. Let your kneecaps lift, let your thighs awaken. And chances are, automatically, you've turned your legs externally. See if you can bring your little toe a little bit closer to the floor and find some spaciousness across the lower back. Then from here, lift up slightly. Not too high. Lift up slightly. Stay on the fingertips. Look towards me. Watch my shoulders. Roll your shoulders back and down. And do that a few times. Once more. Now keep the shoulders back and down. Stay there. Begin to bring your elbows slightly closer. As you bring your elbows in, kind of like a little T-Rex, elbows squeeze, shoulders down. With your fingers, create a feeling of pulling your chest forwards. This should feel pretty hard. But this is the sensation I want you to get in almost every back bend. This feeling of lengthening, shoulder blades drawing down, neck long. And then release. Pause there. Now take your hands level with your shoulders. We're going to come to Cobra. Let your kneecaps lift, let your thighs awaken. Again, roll the shoulders back and down. And as you pull your shoulders down, draw your chest forwards. So I want you to actually feel like you're pulling your chest forwards rather than lifting it up. I want your fingers to pull, your chest to draw forwards. And again, notice my shoulders, shoulders down the back, neck long, hold there. And this should be pretty exhausting. Your back is doing the lifting. Hands could lift off the floor. But your hands are doing the pulling. And then release. Ease down. Curl the toes. Make your way just to a kneeling position for a second. We're going to quickly look at one important factor when it comes to arms and back bends. Internal and external rotation. Stick your hands out to the side. Turn your palms up. Turn the biceps up. So this is you creating external rotation. And hopefully you can feel that this automatically creates extension in the upper back. Now turn the arms the other way. This is an internal rotation. Notice how that encourages your spine to round forwards. Now back bend again, lift the chest, but turn your arms internally. And notice, although it's completely possible to back bend, it's clearly not working that well. Okay, relax. So pretty much every time we back bend, we want external rotation. It's very obvious here. But up dog or cobra, that's still an external rotation. You can tell by the way where the bicep is facing. The bicep's facing what? External rotation of the arm. So chaturanga is external rotation. Cobra is external rotation. Urdhva Dhanurasana wheel, in theory, is external rotation. But of course, because there is weight in the arms, your body really wants to internally rotate in wheel. But ideally, it's external. Side plank, external rotation rather than internal rotation. Okay? Pretty much every pose in yoga, really, we want to cultivate some kind of action of external rotation. But it can get quite confusing. One that I often see is something like halfway lift. Halfway lift, in a standing position, it's a perfect opportunity to wake the back up. But often people have, if they're reaching the arms, this way around. So you can see, hopefully, that although I'm able to lift my chest, turning my palms up creates internal rotation, the shoulders round forwards. Here, external. On that note, let's come to downward dog. Pause in downward dog, have a little walk out. Bend your knees left and right, backwards and forwards. Get a little bit of motion in the body. Inhale, come forwards to plank. Pause in plank. Create some lift in the chest. Lower your knees, your hips, your belly, your chest. Leave your hands where they are. Roll your shoulders to cobra and pull your chest forwards to cobra. Your back lifting, the fingers pulling. Then bum to the heels, ease into downward dog. As you inhale, come forwards to plank again. Lower your knees, your hips, your belly, your chest. So lying flat, reach your arms backwards. Push your feet down. Lift the arms. Lift the chest. Lift the nose. So no need to crank your neck and look forwards. Let your neck follow the curve of the spine. Palms facing down in external rotation. And then release. Bum to the hand, bum to heel, easing yourself into downward dog. Pause in down dog. Now, however you feel comfortable getting there, I'd like you to come to up dog for a second. However you feel okay getting there, come to up dog. We're not going to get into chaturanga and the like, but just stop in up dog. Now, everyone, straighten the arms. And notice what happens. You could probably be here all day. In fact, all the time I see people here, you know, doing a little dance in their up dog, this is not what we want, okay? From here, notice I'm bending my lower back and that's about it. Everyone bend the arms slightly. And just like we did in Cobra, try and roll your shoulders. And as you roll the shoulders back, pull your chest forwards. This should now feel horrific. So a little bend in the arms, squeezing in and relax. Pause there. Okay, just take your knees down a second. I'm not going to force you to do that again, but just observe me doing it from a more restful position. Let's say from Chaturanga, I'm rolling my shoulders and pulling forwards. And there's not a massive visual difference, but here is me locking my arms, squashing my lower back, not opening my upper back, and dropping my head. I could honestly be here for about half an hour. The only thing that's going to fatigue is my wrist. However, a little bend in the arms pulling, so it's visibly not that different, but you can see my chest is open more. I could be here for about 10 seconds and I would fatigue. So I want you to start to dislike upward dog. For me, that's a really good sign that your yoga practice is maturing. The poses you once thought were easy are getting increasingly hard. So for me, that's a sign that your physical asana practice is to some degree maturing, that you're starting to explore poses and why you're doing a certain pose in a certain way, rather than just creating or imitating a shape. Come to downward dog. Let's just take that one more time. So come forwards to plank, come to up dog however is good for your body, stay in up dog, and then create that feeling of micro bending arms. Forget the head, roll the shoulders back, and create that feeling of pulling forwards rather than pushing backwards. If you could be here for 10 minutes, you're probably not in it. Then make your way to down dog. Walk your feet to the top of the mat. And then as you inhale, lift up to halfway. Reach your arms back for me today. So, this for me is the perfect preparatory pose for the back. Instead of touching the floor in a quarter way lift, reach your arms back, arms in external rotation. Create a lift in the chest. A little bend in the knees and the weight in the center of the feet. Look down. So hopefully this feels quite hard for the back. You're using it in the same way as you'll use it in Locust or Warrior 3. So I think we miss an opportunity when we don't do halfway lift like this. Then touch the floor, fold forwards. It's a completely separate pose. Inhale, lift up to halfway. Again, reach your arms back. Stay there. Look down. Imagine you're holding a bowling ball in your right hand. Sweep that right bowling ball forwards, palm facing up. So like you've launched that ball, your palm is facing up, which means your arm is in an external rotation. Biceps facing up. This will make it much harder, unfortunately. Switch arms, so left palm facing up as you sweep it like you're launching a bowling ball for three. Wrap the armpit in for two. Then on one, touch the floor, fold forwards. Let's step the left leg back. Take the knee down. Let's come to a low lunge. Now everyone, just do what you would normally do in a low lunge. I want to just see what you do. So do a low lunge, arms up, let me judge you. Okay, pause there. Okay, so just relax slightly. What often happens here is we get very dramatic. We end up going, oh! And I spent my first decade of yoga probably doing this, just plunging into it, reaching my arms up, and just gonna go as deep as I can, whatever the cost. But again, let's look at the pelvis. What's happening here? My pelvis is rotating where? Forwards. My upper back is an extension. So where am I hammering into? My lower back. I'm getting a psoas stretch as well, of course, but I'm really hammering into my lower back here. And am I using any core strength at all? No. I'm just saying gravity, take me, essentially. So what I'm gonna do now is come up a little bit. So right now I'm creating a feeling. In fact, you do it with me. So come up a little bit. Create the feeling of your right foot pulling back, the left knee pulling forwards, the pelvis lifting up at the front, the belly drawing in. So right now your pelvis is neutral, okay? You're stretching your rectus femoris a little bit more, but then from this position, lift the belly, lift the chest, arms with the ears. So does this look as good? No. Does it feel harder? Probably. But it's far safer for the lower back. It's forcing you to stabilize where you're tight and open. Sorry, stabilize where you're loose and open where you're tight. Like, I'm shaking now. For two. Then on one, bring yourself back to center slowly. Let's apply this to high lunge. Curl the toes. Straighten the back leg. Now from here, fully straighten the back leg. Let the pelvis tilt forwards. I want you to feel that. Okay, so we get this, not necessarily hard, like it's quite easy to just lock your leg and tilt forwards. But if I try and back bend here again, where's it all gonna go? Into a few vertebrae in my lumbar. So instead, let's try something different. Back leg, bend it slightly. And as you bend it, bring it slightly forward. Just a little bit, not loads, just a little bit. Lift the front of the hips up, lift the belly up, lift the chest up, keep the pelvis tilting under, arms with the ears. Pause it. Hold that for four. So left knee moving forwards, belly lifting, chest lifting, arms with ears for two. Then on one, come back to center, hands to the floor. You can take a little vinyasa if you want, of any kind you want. Maybe explore up dog. Then eventually let's meet back in downward dog. Remember, we will do some questions at the end. Just step the other leg forwards for the sake of evenness. Opposite side, reach your arms up. Okay, now let's explore insta lunge. Collapse, then come out of it. Pull the belly in. Draw the right knee forward, draw the left heel back. So just as a caveat, while you're here, feeling that right knee pulling forwards, I just want to remind you that the way we should teach yoga, in my opinion, is to combine tradition, whatever that means, but combine it with modern understanding of anatomy and human body. And we should take alignment principles and apply those to unique bodies rather than being absolute. Curl the toes on the back foot, straighten the back leg, and once you're there again, just for the sake of evenness, straighten back leg, lock it, let the pelvis tilt forwards, notice how that feels easy, kind of good, but then bend the leg, pull the belly in, start to rotate the pelvis back, lift the belly, lift chest, arms with ears. Breathe there for four. Actively bend that back knee and bring it underneath you. Breathe for two. Then on one, hand to the floor. Step back to plank. Take a vinyasa of your choice. Whatever that looks like for you today. Meet back in downward dog. I want to come to boat. Bend your knees. Step, jump or float to Navasana. Now in Navasana, take your feet slightly apart. Bring your knees slightly closer. So your feet and knees about the same width. Pause there. Take your left hand to the chest. Reach your right arm forwards. Now actively lift your chest into the left hand. Like you're trying to backbend. And you're not actually backbending. You're just creating a longer spine, a more natural spine. But it's hard work. So chest lifting up. Then reach your right arm towards ear. Keep actively lifting chest. Keep looking up, not just with your eyeballs. Breathe for three, right palm facing in for two. Then on one, back to center, slightly hugging around the back. Leg slightly away again, right hand to chest, the left arm forward. You'll notice automatically your spine is probably in flexion. Create some lift. Use your hand as something to lift into, then arm towards ear as much as you can keep your chest lifted. Breathe four. Keep lifting for three. Breathe two. Then on one, release. Take your hands down. Step back. Come to lie flat on your belly now. As you lie on your belly, take your left hand and take your left hand to the left ankle. And I want you to grab your inner ankle in an external rotation. Now, what would generally happen here, look at my arm, is half of you will go under your heel, grab your inner ankle, but look at my elbow now. My elbow is actually pointing out, meaning I'm in an internal rotation. Half of you will go over the foot with the bicep facing out. And that's what I want. So start on the outer foot. Walk your hand over the toes. Walk your hands down the other side. And just notice your inner elbow is facing out. Your bicep is facing out. So you're in an external rotation. Okay. From here, bring the knees a little bit closer. Take your head to the right forearm. Kick your left leg backwards and just slightly up. And lift your head and your right arm together. Don't just look forwards, lift the back of the head up. As you kick your left leg back, see if you can kick back rather than out. Keep your inner left leg working. All your foot wants to do is move to the right. All your knee wants to do is move to the left, but don't. And then release. Switch sides, so left forearm down. Right hand grabs inner ankle. Walks over the foot, goes to the inner ankle eventually. Bicep facing out. So arm is in an external rotation, knees start close, head to forearm. Kick leg back, lift chest slightly, arm face. Back of the head lifting up, right hip point touching mat. Focus on integrity, not height, for three, two. Then on one, release. Have a little wiggle. Now we're going to grab both legs. If that's not accessible for you, either don't do it, or if you want, you can interlace a hand. But again, remember, this isn't necessarily about the practice. This is more about the theory and learning the theory through movements. You don't need to do it. But grab the ankles if you can, if you want. Walk your hands up and over so your hands end up holding inner ankles with biceps facing up. From there, move your feet closer, move your knees closer. If you're hypermobile in the elbows, create what feels like a little bend in the arm, which isn't you bending your arm, it's actually you straightening your arm. But we do want to protect those mobile bits, and that might include your elbows here. Then start to kick your leg back. And as you kick back, try not to let the feet come together and the knees wide. Keep the feet and knees kind of the same distance. Remember when you jumped up and down earlier? That distance, ideally. So as you kick back and up, shoulders down, focus on finding space, not compression. Breathe four, three, two, and release. Hands down. Come to a kneeling position. You might want to pad your knee. You're going to come to a variation of camel. Okay. Take your left hand and take it to the sacrum. Remember, we're not doing massive warm-ups, so don't go anywhere near your deepest. Left hand sacrum. So your sacrum is above your bum, below your lower back, often where you'll find a Lululemon logo, but hand on sacrum. Right hand to chest. With your left hand, slightly tuck the bum. So what's that doing? That's tilting the pelvis back. Then lift the belly into your right hand. So left hand tucking slightly under, belly pushing into right hand. Now slide your right hand higher to your sternum, then lift the sternum into the hand. Then take your hand up to the chest, lift your chest into the hand. Keep the hips pushing forwards, keep the left hand doing its thing. Pull your shoulders down. Leave your right hand there, but move your head back just proportionately. Shoulders stay down. Next day's long.
Breathe for three. Breathe for two.
Come back. Come out. Just come to a kneeling position. Look forwards. Okay, so what tends to happen in camel is people are very desperate to touch their feet and then very desperate to do this. And again, like I explained earlier, I'm really not convinced that's a good thing for you. Remember maybe when you first did Warrior 2. When you first did Warrior 2 in a class, you were probably shaking. And when I first started yoga, I was a boxer. And I was constantly, I couldn't understand it. I was like, I've got a six pack. Why am I shaking? That old lady's not shaking. That was in my head at the time. Because I was just using muscles that I wasn't used to using and holding that pose. It's the same to some degree with your neck. We're not really used to doing much with our neck at all, except for dropping it forwards, big heavy head, looking at our phones, computers, desks. So what's the solution to a life spent doing this? It's sure as hell not to just do this instead, dropping your head backwards. What we want to do is build strength in the neck. And how do you make something strong? You hold an object in space. So in this example, holding my head in space really actually feels hard. I'm shaking, it's uncomfortable. But I'm resisting dropping the head back. Just like when I first did Warrior 2, I didn't think, oh, this is hard, fuck it. I stayed in Warrior 2, okay? So I want you to consider that when it comes to neck and shoulders when you backbend. That yes, it might be hard to not drop your head back or forwards, but it's important for you that you don't either go back, but equally you don't stay there. Okay, other side. Other hand on sacrum. Other hand on belly. Push belly into hand. Tuck the bottom of the sacrum under. Hand to chest. Chest into hand. Hand higher. Keep tucking hips forwards. Roll the shoulders back like we did in Cobra. Then move your head proportionately. So yes, you're seeing the ceiling, but you're not looking at the back of the room. Breathe for four. And this should feel actually really hard. And all you want to do is slide your hand closer to the bum and allow your lower back to compress, but don't. And then release. Come back. Look forwards. So having your hand here will actually stop you from collapsing in the lower back. If you let it slide deeper, you're just kind of caressing your bum instead. It's not really going to help in that regard. Come to stand up. We're going to explore dancer's pose now. I think someone typed something. Was it a question? Cool. Okay, no, at the end. Cool. Right, so this isn't going to be fun, and it isn't going to look massively good, okay? So bend your left leg like a little flamingo. Reach your arms forwards. Palms together. Bend your arms to 90 degrees. Start to rotate your arms backwards, but keep the same bend. Keep them bent to 90 degrees-ish. Keep the elbows squeezing in. So keep the external rotators working. Then start to look up. Start to lift up. Then also start to extend that left leg up and back. So trying to reach your hand towards a foot and the foot towards a hand. Squeeze your elbows in. Make sure you're kicking the leg back and up. Breathe four. Nice. Keep the inner legs awake for three. Breathe for two. Then on one, relax. Let go. Shake it out slightly. So that was hard, but that is essentially dancer's pose. In the fullest expression of dancer's pose, you're grabbing the back foot, okay? You're grabbing it, you're opening the chest, and it's actually a very symmetrical back bend in most of the body. Of course, it's not symmetrical in the legs, but full dancer's pose is pretty symmetrical. What we're doing in that incarnation of it is we're exploring active range of motion. Let's just quickly do the other side, bend the other leg, bend the arms to 90 degrees, kick back, lift up. Make sure there is some slight movement of pelvis, some slight movement of pelvis. So the pelvis is still rotating back in relation to right leg, but slightly forwards in rotation in relation to left leg. So slightly forward in rotation to left. Squeeze your elbows in. Make sure you're not touching the neck. Still bent to 90 degrees for two. Then on one, relax, shake it out. So we're now going to apply this to dancer's pose whilst grabbing one foot. So, bend the right leg. Grab with external rotation. So that means you're holding the inner ankle with the bicep facing out. Okay, now from there, we're not going to do this. Because this is completely opposite to what we just did. I want you to actively kick the right leg back, but simultaneously lift the chest up and bend the arm. Looking up, and just continue to kick and look up. So of course it's asymmetrical. Of course you're going to turn your chest. You can't do it without turning the chest slightly, but minimize how much you turn the chest. Breathe four, breathe three. It's so tempting to come into something that looks like warrior three instead for two. Then on one, relax, just shake it out. Straight to the other side, grab at external rotation. Arm up, bend the arm. Now make sure you're not kicking off. Kick backwards rather than to the side. Lift chest up, minimize rotation. There has to be some, but minimize it. Breathe four. Keep kicking for three. Rotating, kicking for two. Then on one, release, shake it out. Come to a kneeling position. Come to look forwards. Put your hands to the knees. Slightly round the back, chin to the chest. Let the shoulder blades move apart. Let the elbows point out. Sit tall, take a little bit of movement in the spine. Again, hopefully we haven't worked too hard that you need a big cool down, but feel free to take a little cool down afterwards. But for time-wise, I'm now going to do a little bit of Q&A. Okay, so I kind of threw a lot at you there quite quick. Typically, that kind of thing I would teach for like 5 hours. So I threw a lot at you fast. So any questions, please do ask. It makes me feel to some degree useful. Please do fire away. There's a little Q&A box. And my aim really ultimately is for your practice to get harder. Like, I want you to get to Vinyasa classes and find Warrior 2, find Up Dog, find Cobra to be challenging poses. And I really think that's a sign of a maturing practice.
Adam, if while we're waiting for perhaps one or two questions, if you have any common questions or common misconceptions you'd just like to summarize or start with, that might help.
So there's one question earlier, I believe. So Vera asks, your knee is screaming in the pose, grabbing the left foot. So what I'd say, just as a general thing, is if a yoga teacher ever says to you, when you have a pain, they try and diagnose it, to some degree ignore them. That's probably well beyond their pay grade, okay? They can't analyze your body. What we can do though, hopefully, as yoga teachers, is what we can do is we can say, okay, in what pose do you have that pain? And work out ways for it to not hurt, in a sense, whilst practicing yoga. But I would say don't trust a yoga teacher necessarily to diagnose you. They're not necessarily qualified to do that or have the tools or the time to do that, certainly not in a public class. Okay. So that's just something to be wary of. The limitations of yoga teacher's knowledge in terms of diagnosing. Okay, so other questions that came up. I find it hard to maintain breathing. So guys, questions-wise, please put them in the Q&A box, not the chat box. There's the Q&A box in the corner. But I find it hard to maintain breathing during upper back bends. How do you work on that tightness? I would say a big part of that is likely shoulders. It does take a while to cultivate this action of drawing shoulders down and opening chest, but that is something we can work towards. So I would say only go far in a pose for as long as you can maintain a relatively steady breath. It should still be challenging, yes, but only go deep for as long as you can maintain the integrity of steady breath. Okay. The last position made it impossible to breathe. So the last position was this standing, grabbing the foot, reaching back. Again, I've never really encountered anyone finding it very hard to breathe here. That chances are it's because you're cramping up somewhere, perhaps. I can't see why necessarily that position would make it particularly hard to breathe unless you were doing so. Any tips for herniated discs? It would entirely depend on which discs are herniated. And again, it's another reason why, like, when you see classes that say, this is an online YouTube class for back pain, I don't like that. It depends what the back pain is and what's causing it. Because something that might help one back pain, one sort of back pain, might be horrific for someone else with a different kind of back pain. So I would say for herniated discs, you need to know what discs they are, and don't do anything that hurts that, and make sure you've had a good firm diagnosis. So my Instagram, guys, is just Adam Hustler. So at Adam Hustler. My website is adamhustler.com, and I do have like online classes, and I do teach, well, I used to teach internationally most weekends, not at the moment, but hopefully soon. Any warm-up poses to get the chest into back bends? Cat-cow is very wonderful. For me, one of the best chest openers is actually Cobra. I think Cobra is really underrated, but spending time in Cobra, really opening up, working the shoulders can be a very, very wonderful thing. Anterior shoulder pain whilst doing wheel pose. Is there a way to avoid it? Again, it depends slightly what causes it. All I would say with poses like wheel is really make sure you're in external rotation while you're in them. What tends to happen a lot is people let the arms do this and let the head drop forwards, which then does actually create compression here, depending on how far you go. And actually, when I teach wheel, I force people to initially have hands and elbows shoulder width and try to maintain that as they then transition. Any tips to improve pelvic movement? To be honest, the pelvis can generally move fairly freely. Like, we don't necessarily need tips to improve movement in it. For most people, they have the ability to move it. What's more that we need to do is work out control and pelvic awareness. So for instance, at the start of class, we did bridge on our back and I got you to grab your bum. Now, typically what people do there is they just lift up, they lift the bum off the floor, but the pelvis is actually in a forward rotation. But you see the way we did it there, we didn't follow the route of least resistance, we walked the feet away, we worked out what was happening and what to engage. So I think your yoga practice should be a practice of self-inquiry. And in every pose, you're trying to work out what's happening, why am I doing it this way, what happens if I do this. So I think we don't necessarily need tips to move the pelvis, we just need a little bit more pelvic awareness. What about looking down when back bending? I don't really know in what case you would really look down when back bending. Even in a drop back, I wouldn't necessarily drop my head. Right, to give a little example of like dropping back. So dropping back is one of those poses that I do slightly break my rule. So I do let my feet turn out slightly. I do break the rule there because I probably do it once every 5 weeks. But in terms of dropping the head, if I was dropping back, okay, I would focus first on tilting the pelvis back as much as possible. Then I try and open, but even then I'm not dropping my head. I'm not forcing it back. Only at the very end do I slightly look at the floor and ease into it. But for me, I'm not really looking anywhere near the floor except to help me actually get into it. Okay, next question. So I'm gonna just quickly look at the chat box as well. There were some questions there.
One question, which was about stopping or doing forward folds after back bends.
Yeah, so my view is that I don't like to do opposite poses constantly. Like, I would not ever teach anyone forward fold, back bend, forward fold, back bend. I like to neutralize in between. So let's say my class, my sequence, FYI, I'm doing a sequencing training online at some point soon. It's on my website. But I would generally, if I'm teaching a peak pose like wheel, you know, I will teach an all-round class, gradually working up to wheel, gradually increasing back bends, exploring external rotation, pelvic tilt. Then after that's all done, I will then take counter poses. I will then kind of neutralize the spine. Then towards the very end, maybe take some forward folds. But I wouldn't go like back bend, forward fold, back bend, forward fold, back bend, forward fold. It would be working up towards a peak pose, then more neutralizing poses to whatever family I had been doing before that. Then it would be some counters. Okay.
Someone mentioned lotus pose in general. I'm not convinced a lotus pose is great for most Western bodies. We're not really doing someone's asked about that. We're not doing, obviously, knee stuff right now. But generally speaking, I don't like knee rotation. Where possible, I like hip opening, so head of the femur moving in the pelvis. I don't like knee and ankle rotation massively. We've got 3 more minutes. All right. Frozen shoulders over the arms. Yeah, but I still want to extend the upper back. Okay, so yeah, frozen shoulders is really annoying, I know. But if you want to extend the upper back, look at this. There's extension in the upper back without needing to move my arms at all. Okay, camel pose, like we did. Extension in the upper back. You know, you can explore that movement really significant without needing to take arms up and over.
Agata.
So lift the kneecaps up. So that instruction is good and bad. So if someone has really bent knees, lift the kneecaps up, it's quite good to wake their legs up. However, you know, lots of people that do yoga now are very mobile or extra mobile. So if you say lift your kneecaps up, what lots of people then do is lock the knees. Locking the legs is not a good thing. So I don't actually ever instruct to lift kneecaps up, but it's maybe I do sometimes in poses like like when you're on the floor, like in up dog, I say lift the kneecaps off the floor. But in standing poses, I wouldn't generally say when weight bearing, lift the kneecaps. I'm more likely to say engage your leg. Let your leg feel awake. Right? Because that means that people aren't going to bend the leg back and they aren't going to lock it. They're going to have some firmness in it, hopefully.
So you, dancer, is the issue is...
So just FYI, guys, so the question there was frozen shoulder, dancer's pose is the issue. Not every pose is good for everybody at all times, okay? We have to realise that. You know, a lot of traditional yoga, whatever you want to call it now, which actually is only 70, 80 years old in terms of a lot of the lineages that people follow, they're designed mainly for, like, teenage Indian boys, which is fine, but there's, you know, lots of Western females practising yoga, got a very completely different body type. But just further, you look at a typical yoga class, it's just full of people of all backgrounds, injuries, pregnancies. Not everything is good for everyone all the time. So I would say, if you really want to do a version of dancer's pose where you're opening the chest, you could potentially explore grabbing ankle this way around, pulling shoulders back and kicking. But I'm not a fan of that. It does create a little bit of compression because the pelvis is forced forwards. But it, if you really want, that could be an option.
Best exercises for opening shoulders.
Many of the things we just did, but what we always want to do generally when we open shoulders is make sure when we open shoulders we try and keep engagement around. So you've got your serratus anterior here, you've got your lats sticking out. We want to make sure when we explore that openness we're not letting stuff collapse. Because of course I can get my arms really far back if I let my arms internally rotate and just let them dangle. That's not a useful shoulder opening pose. Whereas keeping control, that's useful. So I like to explore range of motion while I have control of it. I don't like to explore just passive range of motion. That's not a useful thing in my books. It's good if you want to be a contortionist, but not if you want a safe, sustainable practice. It is 56 now, so I'm going to pass back because I believe we're done. I'm going to move house in about an hour, hence all the crap behind me. But yeah, thank you so much, guys. Yeah, my name's Adam Hustler, Instagram Adam Hustler. I've also got a podcast called Honestly Unbalanced, where we talk to people in the wellness industry, a lot of yoga teachers, of course, but many other people as well, about how actually they're not that balanced. Okay, so have a look at that if you're interested. But cheers, guys.
All right. Thank you so much, Adam, for condensing so much actionable wisdom for people within a short space of time. I think you could rewatch this and get more and more out of it every single time. So Adam's links will be in the chat. So Marina will post where to find out more and follow Adam and future trainings if you'd like to take those with him. And also... the next sessions on the yoga, well, actually there's a break on the yoga track now. The next session on the keynote is Ilan Stefani, three embodied keys for, well, the drama of not being enough, embodied keys for energy, courage, and self-love. The next session on the yoga track is in 3 hours, The Compassionate Body by Karen Van Manen. And so you can also join the coffee break after this session if you want to speak or interact with some other participants. Debrief, share what you love, share what you learn, And then lastly, if you want to own the conference package, rewatch great sessions like this and all the other ones that you couldn't make, then there's also a link in the chat to the upgrade. It also allows other people, anyone who's accessed all of these free streams, for us to put this, basically just put the conference on. And then a last word from Adam. I think, Adam, one, what's your top tip on how to be more embodied?
For me, it is, well, my tip for everything is just watch the next inhale. Just keep returning to the start of the next inhale. More my tip for living.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone. I'm seeing lovely words in the chat. And Adam, again, pleasure to have you join us. So thank you all. And we're going to close up here.
Cheers, guys. Take care.